Hebrews chapter 10, 4. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I've never been much athlete. When I was younger, I just didn't have the body type to be an endurance athlete. Maybe one day I'll bring pictures and show you. Wasn't really how God had wired me at that point of my life. But over the years, I've had the chance to, especially when I was a student minister, I would attend cross-country meets. And there are a few things, y'all. I mean, even back then, I could almost be moved as I would watch on that final stretch as they were almost about to cross the finish line. And have you seen that kind of look on their faces? They're just like, it's all they've got to finish. And they're running there at the end. And what do they find at the end of the race? All those people who are just like, I'm not going to tell you all the things that they did once they passed me. Sometimes it wasn't pretty. But there was something in them that as they were given everything that they had to try to finish this race, there's something beautiful and moving to see someone going with everything that they have, trying to get to there and watching and cheering. That even though we're not the ones running the race, we see the struggle and we see all the effort that's being put forward. And our job is just to stand there and just be like, you got this. Just keep going. Don't give up. I found myself at the last Summer Olympics watching those people run those events. And I couch at one moment and the next moment I'm up off the couch and I'm like they can hear me. Like, you got this, you're almost there. Phenomenal to see someone give every ounce of effort and ability to accomplish that, and beautiful to see a group of people standing, cheering, and letting them know that they can make it if they'll just keep going. When you read Hebrews chapters 10 through the end of the book, the picture of endurance and running the race of faith is set by Hebrews. And the author of Hebrews, as he's writing to this audience, is effectively saying, just keep going. That in those moments when you want to stop, in those moments when you want to turn back, when life is hard and it beats you up and you're wondering if this whole faith thing is worth it, if all something that you should put in, he writes and he says, yes. That it, when you want, you and I have been given such a beautiful inheritance in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that the value of what God has done for us in Jesus is worth every effort that you and I will put forward to pursue him faithfully. But Hebrews is not a kind of Hallmark movie or one of those Disney movies that doesn't really take account of the reality of how hard life can be. Any amount of life, you know that that's the case. There are moments in our lives where our love for the Lord and our love for other people, it wanes. And some days we get up and we think, yes, I love you, Lord. And some days it feels like we're a part of a worship service and we're singing. And other days it feels like we're that fling. And then loving people. Holy cow, right? Loving God and then loving people, and I'm talking about real people, like the people that live in your house with you. Those people. Right? Or the people you work with, or the people you share community with. And when those moments when you're trying to love these even like you love yourself and praying for those who persecute you, and there are moments within our hearts where our love grows cold and we start to wonder, is all of this worth it? Should I continue to grow in my love for the Lord? Should I continue to try to love other people? Is any of this worth it in the end? And the author of Hebrews, he writes, and he gives us kind of one of these admonitions where he says, confession of our hope without wavering, for for he who promised is faithful. And in Hebrews chapter 10 to this point, he has been talking about the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he says, before Jesus Christ came, the people of God would gather and they would offer sacrifices over and over again. And the problem could never ultimately take away the sins that the people had committed. And if anything, the author of Hebrews says, when they got together and they made those sacrifices, it was a reminder that they still had not been perfected in the sight of God. The sacrifice, the blood of bulls and goats, could not take away their sin. So gathering for worship was, in a very real way, a reminder of how they still had fallen short of God's glory. And then he says, but when Jesus Christ came into the world, once and for all, the perfect sacrifice that takes away our sins, and he sat down at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and that even now, Jesus Christ, you are perfectly righteous and at rest. So when you come to worship every Sunday, it is not a reminder that you still fall short, that you still aren't enough, that you still haven't measured up to all that God would have for you to be. In a way, that's true, but the good news of the gospel is that in spite of that, when we gather for worship every Sunday, we're people of Jesus Christ. That if you are experienced eternal life through faith in him, that he offers the pathway to abundant life here and now. And I want you to think about coming to this building and coming to church, kind of yourself with a bunch of people who are cheering you on. But as you're making your way through life and things get hard and difficult, and there's moments where you're like, Lord, I'm not sure I can put one foot in front of the other. Or Lord, are you pleased with me? Or is there really hope for someone like me? When you come into the doors of Mountain Brook Baptist Church on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night, my hope and my prayer for us as a church is that it is a moment where you come and we remind you of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Continue to gather together as a people, not because it's convenient, not because we all agree on the same kind of music or what time we should worship or fill in the blank. We're going to continue to do the very inefficient, inconvenient thing as we are able to get up and make our way. Something that God does in the community of faith when we gather as a people to encourage each other to continue to believe what is true based on Scripture and to lean into all that God has done for us in Jesus Christ. And I am convinced that just like you need it, and just like I need to be reminded of the gospel, there are people us who are desperate for what we have in Jesus Christ. This sanctuary, one day, I hate to tell you this if you don't know this, but this will not be the sanctuary in the that this that you and I are doing that has eternal consequences for us and the people who are around us. And as you and I contemplate the depths of all that God has done for us in Jesus to perfect our consciences once and for all through faith in Jesus, and we grow in our love for him and we grow in our love for each other, that the beauty of the gospel would be on display in such a way that others would be drawn into all that God would have for them to know in Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage you this morning, project, and I hope I've said it enough from the beginning, that you and I could have the most beautiful building in the world. We could have the building that's the easiest to get around. We have all of that stuff, but if there is not a group of people who are committed to growing in their faith in Jesus and they're committed to using what God's entrusted to them to serve others and help them grow in godliness, then none of this stuff will matter. Right? None of it. To us to be reminded to ultimately cultivate in our hearts a love for the Lord in response to what he's done for us in Jesus. We lean in to loving each other even as he has loved us, and we pray that the Lord would continue to add to our number not because we would have a bigger church or fill in the blank, but because we want more people to experience what we have experienced. The writer of Hebrews says something interesting in that passage. He says, let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works. I want to give you an assignment, because I want you to spend some time imagining how you could stir other people up to love and good works. I want you just to spend some time dreaming about that. What would it look like for somebody else to provoke them to love the Lord and other people more fully? And then I want you to do it. Whatever that looks like, as the Lord leads you, if you would leave this service and this week, you would use something that God's entrusted to you, a word or a prayer or a comment or an invitation to church, something to stir up greater affection today. May the Lord continue to give us a heart for each other as we consider how it is that God might use us to be a source of his blessing, love, and live for the Lord more faithfully. Be that group at the finish line for somebody this week. Encourage them as they seek to love and live for the Lord. I invite you to pray with me. Father, thank you so much for your kindness to us, and thank you for all you've done for us in Jesus. Lord, we talk about the gospel and Jesus sometimes in ways that doesn't fully reflect the significance of all you've done for us. And so remind us of the great love that you've shown us in Jesus. And then move our hearts to love you and to live for you. We thank you for all that you've done for us, and we offer this prayer in Christ's name. Amen.